Okay, boys, it's got to work.
Let's get back to work, guys.
I'm taking what they're giving because I'm working for a living.
You need a job so you can pay. Get a job.
You don't got to go to work. Working 9 to 5.
I suck at this job.
He works hard.
Welcome to the working week.
My fellow employees, it gives me great pleasure to say
you are a good worker and a good man.
But I wake up and nothing's wrong. Just get ready for work, 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 work.
Is this your handiwork, or did you bring in an independent contractor to finish the job?
God, I can't wait to quit this job.
You know what? You all suck. I quit.
And now, getting you to work, it's Bob and Cher.
Let's settle in for another excellent Tuesday, shall we? I had a realization yesterday I would like to share with you boys, because I think that Bob, Max, and Lamar, you have more in common with me than your women do, because y'all do the cooking and chopping, correct?
Right. That's fair,
that right?
Correct.
That's accurate. That's true,
well,
right?
Well, okay, I mean, so, my wife does a lot of cooking, but I do some anyway.
Okay, my husband doesn't do a damn thing. He just sits here like a lump and waits for me to feed him like a baby bird. But at any rate, I do all the grocery shopping or whatever. Mm-hmm. And the last thing I do before I leave the house is say, all right, I'm going to the grocery store. If any of y'all need or want something, just shoot me a text. And
right.
So, yeah, and you know how that goes, right?
Yep.
And yes. And most of the time, like, you would expect the requests to be fairly simple, except for my husband, who's very specific and high maintenance. Like, he has very specific brand names and configurations of products that he will eat. Like, he likes, for some reason, he likes tiny individual servings of cottage cheese, but it has to be a very specific percentage of milk fat in order for him to consume it. And that number, folks, would be 4%. And apparently, along with a nationwide Ritalin and Adderall shortage, we're also having a nationwide individually sized Breakstone 4% milk fat cottage cheese shortage. So it's always these very, very specific things. And Karamia, when Karamia's home, it's just as bad. Teapot, I'm going to go to the grocery store. Text if there's something you want. And then I'll get a text. Are there individual frozen Asahi breakfast bowls by any chance at the grocery store? No, honey, because we don't live in Malibu. All right. There are no grocery stores in this neighborhood that have that. I peaked yesterday. I had a peak version of this. So we finish work. It's about 2:30 in the afternoon and I need to print stuff. But of course, I don't have any printer ink because, you know, a printer ink cartridge only lasts for 25 hours and then it has to be replaced. And by the way, the Epson Workforce printer that I have that was $99, the package of printer ink is $86.99. An EcoTank printer like you see Shaq advertising is $299. Like, I could buy 10 EcoTanks for the amount of money I've spent on printer ink. So I say to Kevin, I'm going to Staples to get some printer ink. And I'm going to stop at the grocery store on the way home. Text me if there's anything I can get you. So, oh, okay. All right. Bye. Have fun. So drive down to the Staples and I'm standing there in the printer ink section trying to decide if I want to risk a felony shoplifting charge, because how in the world, why am I paying $86.99 for a package of printer ink every 30 days? So I'm standing there. My phone vibrates in my pocket. I pull it out. It's a text from Kevin and the text reads, "Hey woman, while you're at Staples, can you get me a fountain pen and a black ink refill?" Well, sure, Bartleby the Scrivener. I have no doubt.
I have not seen anyone use one of those. I think my father was the last person.
I use one every day.
Oh, my God. This must be a Southern gentleman thing. So I'm looking at this text. And I'm like, I'm at Staples. I mean, surely there's a fountain pen at Staples.
Nope.
So they have an entire section that says pens and pencils. And there are hundreds of pens and pencils. So I decide I'm just going to start at one end and I'm going to work my way through. And sure enough, I can't find it. So I go to staples.com, type in fountain pen, and it pulls up. And I realize, oh, that's what the package looks like. So back I go again. Back. There it is. I'll be damned. It's a fountain pen. And I take it off and I look at it, and he had been very specific in his text. not a calligraphy pen. Oh, nope. No. And not a ballpoint pen that pretends to be a fountain pen, please. Nope. An actual fountain pen like no one has used since Charles Dickens.
Okay, medium nib. He wants a medium nib. That's what he wants.
He do. Nib. So I find it, and it comes with blue ink. So I take a picture of it and text it back. Is this what you meant? And he's like, yes, but could you find a black ink refill? Well, thank you for the opportunity. I don't get out much lately.
More digging.
So now I go up the pen aisle and down the pen aisle and up the pen aisle. Then there's another aisle at Staples where they don't sell pencils and pens, but they kind of sell artistic sort of things like calligraphy pens and magic paint markers. No. So I bring it home and I hand it to him and I said, here it is. And he goes, what? No black ink? No, sir. Because I was unable to travel to the 18th century and visit the mercantile in the center of the village.
Sherry, give him fountainpenhospital.com.
Oh, my God. Of course you would know this, Lamar. Thank you. I'm writing this down.
It's in New York. It's in New York. Fountainpenhospital.com. They got fountain pens from $20 to $20,000.
I am so impressed, Lamar.
We're going to be discussing this. Sit tight. I have questions. I think everyone has questions. It's Bob and Sherry.
The Bob and Sherry website, the Oddcast, contest info, bobandsherry.com.
Well, if you're a regular listener to the Bob and Sherry show, you probably say, well, I know what Lamar is all about. Well, maybe you don't, because we just discovered that he is a fountain pen man. A fountain pen, man. Sherry and I have not seen anybody with a fountain pen for, since our childhood. So what's the story behind the story with you using a fountain pen?
A long, long time ago, when I was a kid, fountain pens were around. That was a thing. And so then it just sort of went away. So when Jared graduated medical school, I was trying to think of something I could get him that would be a memorable gift, but it would be a usable gift. So I decided I would get a fountain pen, have it engraved. He could use it at the hospital. So I started looking around. I found this place in New York. It's called Fountain Pen Hospital. And I went on the website, and they've got pens. Like I say, they start at $20, so you can spend $5,000. I mean, it's because they're fountain pen collectors and all this kind of stuff. So I picked out a really nice fountain pen and had it done. And he was doing his graduation in New York. So we were going up to New York anyway. So I just told him, I said, I'll pick it up. So I went to the place. I mean, it's probably 3 or 4 blocks away from the Twin Towers area right there. And I went in there and I can't even tell you. I don't care what you're writing with. They've got it. I mean, they have got it.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was an amazing place. And so when I bought it for him, I thought, you know what? I think I like this idea. So I bought me a really cheap one. His was very expensive. Mine was very cheap because I have a tendency to lose stuff, you know? But and that's been, years. It's years. And so I've broke them and some different things, but
Are they messy?
Not at all.
I just remember seeing ink on my father's hands.
Used to be. They've really got it down now. I mean, it's really, and they're easy to write with. And I use mine every day, but I don't carry it around because I wind up losing it. But I journal and stuff, and I use it to journal. That's what I use it with. Yeah, use it for journaling.
One of the things I thought as I was hunting for a fountain pen for Kevin was, I don't mind hunting for a fountain pen. I'm out anyway, right? I would never, ever, ever, ever text someone to get me an obscure, random, hard-to-find item. Like, I barely can ask you to pass, and I'm being serious now, I barely can ask you to pass me the salt. Like I have such a phobia of being like a burden, And I know that if I said, can you get me, you know, a whalebone corset while you're at Home Depot, my love, like if I had said something random, he would endeavor, but not in the same, he would be like, do you really need a whalebone corset right now? Well, no, I just thought I'd give you a little task while you're out and about. I mean, I just couldn't ask. I could not ask for someone to do that.
I hate getting those text messages. I start sweating as soon as I hear the ding on the phone. Because here's what you want. You're opposite that?
Yeah. I'm like Sherry. I would never ask somebody to walk across the street to get something for me. It's too much trouble. She'll know
that I'm at the grocery store, right? And she'll say, would you get me X brand of avocado oil? I start to sweat right there because I'm going to have trouble finding it. I don't know why. She can go right to a new grocery store. She can find it right away. I'm going to start sweating. Is this the right? Where is it? Do you have avocado oil? I wonder if peanut oil is okay. Is it back here? And then I finally find it. And I bring it home. And she said, what took you so long?
If you text me something that's hard to find, it's a challenge for me now. If you make a request of something, I will not stop. I will not
be a hero
until I
get it.
Same. When my kids were small, they would always want that toy that nobody could find. And I could find it. I would find it. I would not stop until I found it. I think it's so important to get somebody what they want.
And yet, Lamar, you won't stop till you bring home that random toy. I would not leave Staples without a fountain pen. But if Kevin were standing in front of the milk section at the grocery store, I would hesitate before asking for yogurt. The thought of being a burden is just... And the first time I do ask for something random, like, yes, my love, I'd like a Coach in 4, you know, because that's an easy thing to find nowadays. The minute that I felt any resistance, I would never ask for anything again. Like, this is it's pathological, Bob. It's not a healthy way to be.
It makes no sense at all. I mean, everything that you do for people, you don't deserve. Oh, I know what that's all about. Taking it right back.
I encourage y'all. Everybody should order a fountain pen. Spend $20, order a fountain pen, play with it. You'll love it.
Morons in the news is next. It's Bob and Sherry. Morons in the News is sponsored by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Do it.
Let's go. Go.
Bob and Sherry.
Idiot.
With Morons in the News.
One person was arrested a couple of days ago after he was stopped at a traffic stop in Oregon. It led to a marijuana seizure. He had quite a bit of marijuana in the car. They searched the car. 150 pounds
of
processed marijuana was seized, along with $4,000 in cash. The driver was arrested and booked into the county jail. Police have not shared his name. And I haven't shared the name of the town in Oregon where he got busted for 150 pounds of marijuana. The name of the town is Weed, Oregon. So he was busted in Weed for having way too much weed.
It's so good.
It's so good. I mean, and can you name another state in the United States where the name Weed works better? There's not another state that beats Oregon for having that.
It's perfect. It is. A shocked crocodile handler came within an inch of losing something very, very important to him when a 15-foot crocodile bit him between the legs after being poked with a stick. Don't poke it with a stick, okay? He's a very experienced reptile expert, and he does all kinds of displays and shows for visitors that go to Crocodile Creek. It's down in South Africa, and so he's doing this, and all of a sudden, it raised up and it latched on him below the waist and latched onto his crotch. Oh. So he's screaming and hollering, the crowd's going crazy, And he stood up, and the beast opened its mouth and let him go. And so they checked everything, and everything was fine. Another crocodile expert said the only reason the crocodile let him go was he didn't care. He said if he really wanted him, that would have been the end of that. And one of the handlers' membership that works with him said, well, he had a very serious injury to his right leg, really close to his private parts. He said if it was another inch, his future demonstrations may have been a little bit higher pitched. But he escaped.
Oh, all right, guys. Lamar, heads up. Everyone, heads up. How do you like your bacon? And I hope the answer is crispy.
Yes.
And well crispy. Done. You know, there are people that like their bacon a little on the softer, flabbier flaccid side.
Flaccid.
Flaccid, yes. Bacon.
They
enjoy flaccid bacon. You don't want flaccid bacon. A 52-year-old American man began, he'd always kind of had a problem with headaches, but he began having these migraines that were so frequent and so severe that no medication could touch them. And he was like losing his mind. And the doctors were like, well, maybe you got a hold of a bug somehow. Like, have you traveled? Guy hadn't traveled anywhere. He all he did was, you know, get up every day, go to work, come home, watch some TV, go to bed. So they just grilled him and grilled him and grilled him. They're looking for anything that could connect to these headaches. And one of the first things they look at is food. Like maybe he's got a food allergy, right? Maybe he shouldn't be eating chocolate or caffeine or wheat, whatever. So as they're going through all of his daily food habits, they're like, all right, tell us again breakfast. He's like, well, you know, bacon, eggs, toast, juice. And they said, the bacon. How do you cook the bacon? He liked barely warmed up flaccid bacon, Lamar, which I know you think is a sin in the eyes of the Lord.
Horrible.
So now it turns out that because he was eating flaccid, barely cooked bacon, he has tapeworm eggs festering in his brain, causing him these devastating headaches. These are the larval cysts of the pork tapeworm, which can get into the muscles and the brain.
Ooh.
So be really, really careful. They
enjoy
said
that
it's
breakfast.
Very unusual to encounter this in the United States, but this Good. Case has public health implications because we are encountering this in the United States. And so the medical establishment says, we don't want you to eat bacon at all, but if you're gonna, you better cook that bacon until it crackles.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yes. And when you pop on over to the Bob and Sherry Facebook today, you'll see the brain scans of our flaccid bacon-eating man here.
Ew,
we'll never make that mistake again. Do not move. Straight ahead. Work goggles. Are they as bad as beer goggles? Looks like it. It's Bob and Sherry.
Bob and Sherry books, swag, and the mother of all mothers merch. Just hit shop at bobandsherry.com.
The Colonial Room at the Drake in Oak Brook, Illinois. For a limited time, the hotel is offering a luxurious, upgraded version of their signature bookbinder soup, preparing it with one of the world's most prestigious spirits, Louis XIII Cognac, as well as some other lavish flourishes. The price of this bowl of soup is $1,893, and that would be a surprise. The extravagantly revamped version of the soup goes way beyond the Remy Martin Louis XIII Cognac. It also is served with red snapper that is flown in fresh from the Gulf on the day that they cook it. It comes right there the day they cook it. Then it's garnished with gold flakes and Ocetra caviar. The experience includes a snifter of the premium spirit, as well as a trip behind the scenes in the kitchen to watch how they make it. Okay?
Wow.
Now, this specific $1,893 price, it comes from the date of the original recipe for the soup that was created by Samuel Bookbinder in Philadelphia. They have been serving it in Oak Brook since the hotel opened in 1962, and it's always been a favorite for everybody, including Frank Sinatra, King Charles, and the regular version of the soup is $10. The experience will be available by request for a limited time, and you have to order it 2 weeks in advance. Those who are only vaguely familiar, if you don't understand what Louis XIII, what that stuff is, a regular pour at a bar will cost you $500. Okay? That's how expensive it is. And the manager of the hotel says, you know, paying $1,893 for a bowl of soup, it's not for everybody, but for those that can afford it and will appreciate the uniqueness of the opportunity, it's a deal. Woo! Can you imagine?
No, I you're looking at someone who had a spoonful of peanut butter for breakfast. No, I cannot imagine. No.
Well, some people live the life. This is Bob and Sherry.
It's the stuff we wouldn't, couldn't, shouldn't do on the regular show. The Oddcast on the free Bob and Sherry app.
Oh, this is so interesting, you guys. You know what beer goggles are, right? Everybody knows what beer goggles are.
Yeah.
You're out, you're partying, you've had a few, and suddenly someone that you might not otherwise think was all that intriguing is pretty hot and attractive. Well, according to this relationship expert whose thing I'm reading, there's such a thing as work goggles or office goggles that very often people who develop like feelings or a crush or an attraction to a coworker, it's really not real. It's kind of like beer goggles, but it's work goggles. There's just this one person in your workplace that you really wouldn't connect with at all if you had not met at work. Like, this is not someone that you have, like, it's just not your type or someone you have a lot in common with, but it's this one person where if you had met them under normal circumstances, no way. But for some reason, at work, they are exactly what you've been looking for. And you've got you a bad case of work goggles. Has this ever happened to you? This has happened to me a handful of times. Has this ever happened to any of you?
I have dated people that I've worked with in one radio or TV station or another several times. But when I think back on it, they were all still kind of my type.
Well, I know a few of them.
Yeah.
I know a few of them, and kind of your type is the, I think kind of has to stay in there because a couple of them are exactly your type. It's like you called up the factory and they built one to spec.
Yeah.
But a couple of them looked like they might be your type if you squint it. But once you got to know them, we're like, oh, no, not a chance. No way.
Yeah,
I think that's a work goggle situation.
Yeah,
and I don't want to name the ones that I'm thinking of, but you know the ones I'm thinking of. You do.
Yeah.
How about you, Max or Doc or Lamar? Well, wait, Doc has announced publicly he intends to die alone. I apologize, Doc. I apologize for sucking you into this. How about you, Max or Lamar?
Lamar? You used to work with all men at the beer warehouse, didn't you?
Oh, I bet you had you some work goggles there, Big Daddy, didn't you?
Yeah.
Is that Taterhead over there bending down over that case of Bud?
I think we've lost Lamar. I don't think he's with us.
No.
He's muted himself.
I was coughing.
He's like,
I was coughing.
If I can mute myself out of this conversation, oh, that's, I'd be happy.
That's what you say. I was coughing. Oh.
I'm thinking, how does it work for Doc when he don't have to answer stuff like this?
Because he's publicly announced he's dying alone. He beat me to it.
But now I do. Work all right. Goggles. Think about this, Sherry. Do you think that one of the big factors in this is familiarity?
Yes.
Constantly seeing somebody. Because if you see somebody constantly, you start to see them in different ways because you have conversations and you have. So, yes, I can see that. I really, really, really can see that. Yes.
No, you nailed it. This is what this says. When we spend extensive time together in a professional setting, the brain undergoes a fascinating process of neurochemical bonding, very similar to the way oxytocin fosters connection in romantic relationships. The bonding hormone gets released at work. And this can override like your initial impression or your judgment or your usual, I don't know, standards maybe is the word. You're spending so much time together, which also plays a role. How many times have you heard the expression work wife or work husband?
Yeah. You know, actually, that speaks well of anybody who is in that situation, because it says it's not just a physical attraction. There's something else there. It's the way it's the display of their kindness or their intelligence, their thoughtfulness.
One of the comments on this article was, listen, the next time you're having drinks on a Thursday night with your coworkers, and after a couple of glasses of cheap wine, you start thinking to yourself that Jack from IT could be the love of your life. I beg you, take 30 seconds to step back and think to yourself, is this work goggles?
Yeah, yeah.
That's why there's so many work affairs, wouldn't you think?
Oh, totally. Yeah, totally. And then you kind of come to your senses. Yeah.
The reason this does this is in case of the apocalypse and you're trapped somewhere and you've got to start the human race back over, and the person you're trapped with, you're not attracted to. After a while, you start getting attracted. Human race back on again.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah, I can see that. Yeah.
I hope that if the apocalypse comes, the only people it doesn't spare are radio guys. Okay, is that?
Hey, Sherry, wouldn't you like to start civilization again with that all night man who had a body odor problem?
Oh, geez. Oh no, I'm out.
Yep.
It's Bob and Sherry.
Bring whatever you drink and celebrate happy hour Thursdays at 7 p.m. Eastern live on the Bob and Sherry Facebook page.
BobandSherry.com is where you can nominate a teacher to win Bob and Sherry swag, and they will be in the running to win a vacation from Visit Florida to Margaritaville Beach Resort in Fort Myers Beach, Florida.
There is a guy who lives somewhere in my neighborhood, because I see him at the grocery store and I see him driving his very unique car every once in a while. This guy, he's a pretty cool looking guy. He's tall. He has the shock of white hair. And I mean, it's like Elvis hair, but it's white. He's an older guy. He's always dressed up with a sport jacket, a tie, or maybe a suit. And he always drives the same car with the top down. The car is either a Shelby or a Cobra, one of those two-seaters that not very many people see. I very seldom see one of these cars. Car's probably 25 years old. Every time I'm walking the dog with Mary, there's a certain part of the street we walk on that's flat. It's flat out. And every time he drives by, as soon as he gets to that one point, he guns it. And that car is so loud. Now, this is a guy that's in his 60s now. He guns it, and everyone has to look at him, because it makes so much noise, and he's probably going from 35 to 60 in just a couple of seconds, right? He just has to have that experience. And I'm thinking to myself, why is he doing that? What is it about guys that they really get off on making that noise in front of people? Because I was thinking about it, and I have never in my life, now, I've never had a car like a Shelby or anything like that. I'm not going to make that kind of a noise with an Avalon. But I've never done that. Even when I was young, I'd look over and see there's some people over there, and I'm going to get their attention by gunning it, making some noise. Or even when I was like in my 20s, I wasn't doing that. Oh, look at that. That's a hot woman there, and I'm going to gun it. And then she'll look over at me. I just don't get it. I just don't get that appeal.
I always thought it was like a proxy expression of your male insecurity. But what do I know? I'm just a girl who doesn't really know how combustion engines even work. What do you think, Max and Lamar?
It's not something I've ever wanted to do, but I don't know that I have any particular problem with it. It's like, okay, fine. You know, like, live and let live.
My ex put some sort of modification in the engine in his car so that it would be louder. And I've never understood that. Like, I don't want anything. I can't think of anything that in my life that I would like to have it louder. Can you think of one thing where you're going, Damn, this just is not loud enough.
Sherry, the person talking to me in a crowded, noisy restaurant. That's what I want.
That's it. Yeah. Like, I don't walk around going, this car could be louder. That washing machine could be louder. Damn it. Why isn't this cat louder? Like, there's nothing in my life I want louder. So well, I can think of one thing.
I can think of one thing that I'd like to hear, you know, every once in a while louder. But outside of that, I agree with you. I totally agree with you.
What is the one thing?
What is that one thing? Yeah.
You're doing a good job or what?
Round of applause.
Hello, my kind sir.
Sort of.
Your majesty? Your majesty?
No, I mean, I could.
Oh, good heavens. Really?
Yeah.
You just said that?
Uh-huh.
Are you all ashamed?
No.
Wait a minute. Max, Tim, I missed it. What did he say?
Well, there's one thing that I'd like to hear that's a little bit louder.
Just every once in a while. If it's not, you know, loud enough, it could be louder, right?
Sherry, help.
There is nothing in my life that needs to be louder. Nothing. In fact, where is the modification I can buy to quiet some of this stuff down? To me, a loud engine, well, I have a really like hair trigger startle response. Like I will jump, slam out of my skin, right? And the idea of wanting something louder so that I could jump and have that jolt, you know, that jolt of adrenaline you get when you're startled?
Yeah, yeah.
You know that?
Yeah.
Yeah. Could I, is there anything I could buy to do that to myself more? Hell no.
Do you think you become more sensitive to that? Like, let's say somebody dropped a plate at a dinner party and the kitchen was tile. And it's pretty loud. Do you think you would jump at that now more than you did when you were like, I don't know, 21, 22?
No, I've been like this my whole life.
Oh, really?
Yeah. In fact, we were the other day, Max and I were working on podcasts late, and I was doing something and he was doing something. And he turned his mic on to speak to me. And you don't even know this, Max. I jumped a foot out of my seat. And I knew you were there. Like, yeah, the last thing I knew you were there, but suddenly you were in my ears. The last thing I need is a device to make anything noisier. I don't know what your neighbor's got going on with his big pompadour and his loud car, but he's reliving something and Godspeed. It's Bob and Sherry.
Everyone Needs a Laugh is sponsored by Sherwin-Williams.
It's time for Everyone Needs a Laugh. Here's comedian Brian McKim.
So, moved to Las Vegas 10 years ago from New Jersey. The Garden State. Don't you love that? The Garden State. Apparently someone's neglected to tend this garden for the past 50, 60 years. It is now the brown and crumbly state. Says so on those special license plates. Folks back east can't believe I live in Las Vegas. Somebody has to live there, you know. They really can't believe I live in the desert. That's like, ooh, that blows their mind. That's exotic. They don't know anything about the desert, so you can tell them anything when they ask dopey questions about it. Ooh, I hear it's hot there. Yeah, but it's a dry heat. Oh, yeah. Oh, I hear it rains a lot, too. Yeah, but it's a dry rain. Oh, yeah. Well, do you gamble a lot more? No, but I gamble in different ways. For instance, I now buy meat at the dollar store. They got some crazy stuff at the dollar store. So the other day I bought a Yankee candle, I brought it home, I lit it, it smelled like Reggie Jackson. They got doggy ice cream. Ice cream for dogs. This is a dumb idea. I had nothing to do with it. Tastes terrible, by the way. Ice cream for dogs. Save your money. They already have ice cream for dogs. It's called ice cream. It's good enough for me. It's good enough for the dog. It's not like he's got a waistline to worry about. He's not even wearing pants. At least not as often as I'd like him to. You know, there's a chain of dollar stores called Dollar General, which also sounds like a really terrible hospital. Do not get the transplant at Dollar General. You get a CAT scan there, they use a real cat. But pulled into a place called Family Dollar. There was a big old ugly family in the parking lot having an argument. I couldn't help but listen in. Turns out not one of them remembered to bring the Family Dollar. That'll put a crimp in your shopping day, let me tell you. There's a dollar store near my house called Everything's a Dollar. So one day I walked in, put a dollar down on the counter, backed the truck up to the front, loaded everything in. I am now the proud owner of a truckload of crap from China. I'm thinking of starting my own dollar store now. I'm thinking of calling it Crap from China. Or maybe each thing's a dollar. I paid attention in English class. They got a strange idea of what constitutes entertainment in Las Vegas, I'll tell you that much. Got a lot of those escape rooms now. Anybody do the escape room, say yeah. In case you don't know what an escape room is, it's this room where they lock you in a room with a bunch of strangers, and you all got to get together and figure out how to get out. Anybody who thinks this is entertaining has never done jury duty. Las Vegas is now home to the world's tallest Ferris wheel. They don't call it a Ferris wheel, they call it observation wheel. Who named that? That's not fun. 55 stories tall. Just what you want in the middle of the Nevada desert. You want to be 550 feet closer to the sun. 30 minutes for one complete rotation. They call it the high roller. I like to call it the rotisserie. I paid 50 bucks. I feel like a 7-Eleven hot dog. See this a lot walking around the casinos. You see a gorgeous girl accompanied by her two somewhat less gorgeous girlfriends. I like to call that change for a 20. It's a 10 and two fives. Wow. If it's a wedding party, it's a 10 and five and five ones. Apparently the schools in Las Vegas are terrible, but I don't own a home, I don't pay taxes, I don't have any kids, so I don't care. I don't know if it's true or not. I will say this. There's an elementary school near where I live that has student parking. So something's gone horribly wrong there. Apparently it's tough to teach math. I say this because I went to the grocery store the other day, out front with a bunch of these big ceramic pots. One sign, all it says is 50% off. So I walk in, I ask the young lady, I say, what's the regular price of these ceramic pots? She looks at me and she says, 100%. I'm the dumb one.
Brian McKim, we'll get it posted up at BOBANDSHERI.com. Click the menu tab, look for Everyone Needs a Laugh. It's Bob and Sherry.
Leave us a talkback. Talkback with the free Bob and Sherry app.
Car thefts in Toronto, Canada are up 150%. And the police have come up with a solution. The police are advising that residents should leave their car keys outside the front door so that thieves can pick up the keys and take the car and don't have to break into the house. Now, this is a bizarre suggestion, okay?
It is.
And the Toronto residents are outraged. Social media went nuts. One person posted, just leave the blanking car running at the end of your driveway. Why make them walk all the way up to the front door? Duh. Another one said, that's a slippery slope because next it will be suggested to leave gas money too. Many people attribute the huge increase in car theft to the low or no bail and lax sentencing rules, meaning if you steal a car, you don't really have to stay in jail, and then when you get sentenced, it just doesn't turn into anything. Toronto residents have taken great pains to protect their vehicles. 90,000 cars are stolen each year in that city. 90,000. And then there's fees that private security firms charge, and a lot of people will hire them. This guy's name was Nicky Elworthy. He had a Ferrari that got stolen last year, and it cost him to protect his new car $1,200 to $1,700 per day. That is over $400,000 to $600,000 a year to protect the car. A security notice given by the Northern Force people said that a premium service includes round-the-clock security for private persons, companies, and anybody that's there. The agents can do everything from patrolling to screening people to the building. Don't let anybody in. They work in eight-hour shifts, so three people cover the entire time. Now, look, I know I'm going to sound like a typical American redneck, but if you want the keys to my car, you're going to have to come on in the house and take them. I'm not leaving them on the front porch. We'll take our chances on that. This is Bob and Sherry.
Sign up for our newsletter. We never spam you.
Never did.
Get Bob and Sherry exclusives. Just go to bobandsherry.com.
It is talk back time. You can call us on the phone at 844-52-SHERRY, or if you have our app and you can use it to listen to the show and all of our podcasts and text the studio and enter contests and all sorts of cool stuff. You can grab that for free in Google Play and the Apple Store. There's a little microphone cartoon in the bottom of the screen. Tap it and talk, and the app will do the rest.
Hey guys, I was listening to Happy Hour for March 14th, and you guys were talking about some kind of allergy medicine that you guys used to take or whatever. And Bob said, "It's time to party, and I can breathe. And I have asthma, and I just need you guys to make an inhaler case with that quote and Bob's face on it, because I'd buy it in a heartbeat." Love you guys.
Well, Tony's on the phone now.
Tony's on the phone.
What was it? I couldn't understand what
you said. A case for your asthma inhaler. You know, like if you have an inhaler for your asthma, it comes carried in a little case, and it would say, what was it going to say, Lamar? I'm at a party.
It's
and
time
I can
to party.
Breathe.
I can time breathe now.
I have no remembrance of saying that at all, but I'm sure I did.
That's the beauty of the Book of Bob. You often don't remember the things that you say, but we write them down to help you keep track. Let's go to our next message, Max.
So you remember Lamar went to Japan. He went to a pool, and in Japan, you have to cover your tattoos. So this woman has an explanation for us.
Good morning. Yeah, I was just listening to your banter about Japan, and the reason why they don't like tattoos in public areas because tattoos are associated with Yakuza, and Yakuza are not allowed in public places, and those are the only people that have tattoos in Japan. So although the laws have laxed over the years, and, you know, it's more commonplace for Japanese to have tattoos, a lot of public places still follow that rule that has been set since, you know, the last 100 years, you know, or so. But yeah, that's the reason why he was told to cover himself. Usually back in the day, they would kick them out. You know, you weren't allowed in if you had a tattoo. You couldn't go to a bathhouse or anything like that. So yeah, that's the reason why he had to put his shirt on. So, all right. Love listening to y'all. Have a good day.
It's because they were like gang tattoos? Is that what
Yakuza, yeah.
The Yakuza, but their tattoos start at right below their neck and go to their arms, right above their wrist, cover their entire torso and their legs. It's a complete body tattoo. Okay.
I get that.
And I'm pretty sure I'm easily interchangeably noticed that I could be a Yakuza hitman, you know, in a disguise, you know, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I guess being picked out for your tattoo, they look on my back and they see, they're going, oh yeah, this guy is a killer. Good thing. Listen, if I'd have had a tattoo on my neck, they'd have said, oh God, he's a welder. I mean, you know what I'm saying? So it would,
but if they told me to put a shirt on, it would be for another reason, not tattoos.
Honestly,
this is as close as you've ever gotten to being mistaken for a Japanese gangster. Kind of sexy, kind of hot.
Bob, what you're thinking is the same thing. When they first said you got to put a shirt on, I said, yeah. All right, look, I'm not saying I'm not a little bit out of shape here, but I don't think, you know, it's not like I'm scaring the kids. I mean, come on.
If I'm a gangster, though, sometimes I want to be under the radar. But if I got tattoos all over my body, it's kind of a heads up. That guy's a gangster. Let's keep an eye on him.
Yeah. But
that's how they know each other. Yeah.
I guess. But yeah. Yeah.
That's how they know each other. And from everything I've read about the Yakuza, check my math here, Lamar, but from everything I've read about them, they're fine with you knowing that they're Yakuza. In fact, it's in your best interest that you know.
Yeah. They're not trying to be under the radar. That's why the rattlesnake has the rattle, to let you know.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
That's not a problem.
They're not trying to pass as regular, hardworking, decent citizens. They want it known that they're dangerous so that you, and you're better off. You're better off because the last thing you want to do, right, is cross one of those Yakuza guys because you'll pay for it with your life. Right, yeah. Right. But the fun thing is about this water park rule, I mean, I guess even like bloodthirsty gangsters enjoy floating on the lazy river. I just don't associate the Yakuza with a water park.
Once you have a family, there goes your cool.
It all changes.
It's gone.
It all changes.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's Bob and Sherry. Minivan.
It's the stuff we wouldn't, couldn't, shouldn't do on the regular show. The Oddcast. Oddcast on the free Bob and Sherry app.
You still have time to send us a picture of your dog at bobandsherry.com, and you could win up to $250 worth of Dr. Marty's Nature's Blend dog food. And while you're there, check out the gallery of entries in our contest sponsored by Dr. Marty's Pet Food. Visit drmartypets.com/bob. So I read this article, and shirtless photos, gym selfies, and pictures alongside attractive women have been revealed as the biggest profile picture turnoff for women on dating apps. Again, it's a shirtless photo. You're the guy. You're in a gym, maybe, or there are a bunch of attractive women around you, let's say at a bar or at a party. That's a big turnoff. The most popular profile picture is a guy out somewhere in the country. And I don't know what he's doing out in the country. I don't know if he's butchering a hog or he's leaning up against the fence with a piece of hay in his mouth, or I don't know what he's doing.
There's a picture in the country, and then there's a picture in the country. Like, if there you are, Brent, and you and your dog are surveying a golden field and you're getting ready to throw a stick, I find that very appealing. But if I'm looking at Dave and he's standing next to his pickup truck with a pair of gloves, a shovel, some duct tape, and a tarp, I'm less likely to swipe.
Yeah. No, I totally get that. By the way, having a shot of you and your dog is one of the most appealing things. So it's the countryside. A shot of you and your dog showing off your tattoos is very positive now. And having a picture of your car were popular choices. The car seems kind of cheesy, but, you know, you get to know a little. Well, this guy, you know, has this kind of a car. He's a sports car. He's kind of a cool guy or whatever. But I started to think about it. If I were to go on a dating, say I was in my 20s, I'm single. What would I do that would, you know, kind of tell that person what I'm all about? I just don't know what I would do because I'm not a car guy. I have a nice car, but it's not, you know, some kind of a flashy car. I mean, what would I be doing out in the country?
Leaning up against a recycling bin. I think that would be cool.
Yup. Yeah.
Recycling.
I think you out in the country with Finn and a wine glass would tell a woman a lot about what she was looking at. I'm like, there's a man. He's kind of preppy clothes. That's a labradoodle. That's a recycling bin. That's a wine glass. I got a feel for this guy. And you can't argue that. That is very much like a feel for who you are as a person. Whereas
who in the world sits out? Who sits out in the country by himself with a glass of wine?
That's You're not by yourself. You're with your labradoodle. You're not alone.
Yeah.
You're never alone with a dog. Now, Lamar's would be out near his camper with like a beautiful lake in the background. because now I know what campground people are like. And I'm looking at Lamar and I'm like, that's a campground guy. I'm looking at you and I'm like, that's a preppy labradoodle guy. Two different guys. Those kind of images say a lot more than you realize.
How about I've got a golf club. You know, maybe I'm swinging a golf club. You know,
means you'll never be home on the weekends.
I ain't swiping on you.
Are you kidding me?
No way.
Just because I play golf?
Yeah, you're obsessed with it. You're gone all weekend. You're playing 36 holes over the weekend. Nobody wants to do that.
And then when you get home from it, you want to talk about it. Oh, please. Oh, God, no.
But
you're going to die alone.
I had to pull that shot.
But you know, after you've been married for a while, the idea that your husband's gone all afternoon playing 36 holes of golf suddenly becomes a little bit more appealing.
But only up to a point. Like, you're only allowed to do that once the kids are grown. Because the last thing I want to hear is, I've got a 4-year-old and a 6-year-old, and you're off with your golf buddies? I hope you don't notice how bitter your lemonade tastes. Like, no way.
Wow.
That went 0 to 70, didn't it?
Kick you out and get half of the stuff and be on your own. If you're going to be on your own, you might as well be on your own with half of the stuff. You don't have to put up.
Yeah. If I'm going to be a single parent, I'm going to be one for real. So, no, stick to the recycling. Right. What are we even talking about? Like you're going to be dating. You're married, but stick to the labradoodle.
I'm just riffing. You know, it's an experience that I've never had, and I wonder, there's going to be a limited amount of women that are going to really get off on that recycling thing.
Yeah, but the one that does, she's for you.
Yeah, maybe so. Maybe so.
Hey, straight ahead, a shocking, it's true crime time, a shocking, mind-blowing deathbed confession that sent a daughter reeling into the night. What a tale. It's next. It's Bob and Sherry.
True. Weird. Stuff.
It's a beautiful 22-bedroom mansion that was built in 1350. But the sprawling country home in County Wexford called Loftus Hall is also known as the most haunted mansion in Ireland. Stories have been passed down of a spirit that wanders the halls, but even darker than that, Loftus Hall has been haunted by the devil himself.
True. Weird. Stuff.
New episodes drop every Friday, everywhere you get your podcasts.
Can you believe this is sponsored by Progressive Insurance? Bundle home and auto and save. Visit progressive.com.
You read it once.
I don't believe that.
And then you read it again.
I can't believe this.
It's Bob and Sherry's.
I don't believe this.
True crime time. This is an absolutely unbelievable story. So, 38-year-old woman, Ashley Randall. Grew up her whole life, you know, just thinking her parents were just the most typical suburban parents. Her dad Thomas was this model citizen. She had this like idyllic American childhood. And when her dad was 71, a couple of years ago in 2021, he was diagnosed with a very aggressive and incurable form of lung cancer. So Ashley said that for the last few months of her dad's life, she just spent time with her parents. I mean, that was it. She was completely devoted to spending time with her mom and dad. And about 6 weeks before her dad passed away, they were all in the living room together. It's her, her mom, and her dad. And he's lying on the couch and they're watching TV and he mutes it and says, "Ladies, just in case something ever comes up once I'm gone, I don't want you to be blindsided. But there's something you should probably know. When I moved here, I had to change my name, and the authorities might still be looking for me." So Ashley's like, what kind of weird bad dad joke is this? Ha ha, LOL. But he doubles down on it, and she and her mom look at each other, and they realize he's not kidding. And Thomas Randall begs Ashley, "Don't Google me. Please don't Google me. Don't do it. I'm begging you." But of course, late that night, unable to sleep, couldn't stop thinking about what her dad had said, she Googled him. And here's what she found. Her father, Thomas Randall, was really Ted Conrad, who pulled off one of the biggest bank robberies in the history of Cleveland, Ohio, back in 1969. He got away with over $200,000. Today, that would be the equivalent of $1.8 million. So her father, this notorious bank robber that got away, had been a wanted man for Ashley's entire life. He had been married to her mom for 40 years, and he had never told a soul, which means for 52 years, Thomas Randall, a.k.a. Ted Conrad, had been a wanted fugitive living in Boston under a name he created 6 months after the robbery, just going through the motion of regular life. Ashley said, it was shocking. Who is this person I've known my whole life? I didn't believe it. I thought this is like a Lifetime movie. He's just the typical suburban, boring, but good boring dad that's sort of everybody's dad. So she gives it some time and she goes to her father and she said, I did Google you and I know what you did. And I need you to tell me who you really are. And so her dad started spilling it. And he said, I had the opposite childhood that you had. I was in, you know, Ashley's like, I was an only child. I never doubted that I was wanted and loved and cared for. My father grew up with an emotionally distant military dad and a mom that was indifferent to him. His parents divorced. His mom remarried a man who just constantly hassled him. You're good for nothing. You're good for nothing. He went to college in New Hampshire to be closer to his father, but his father's new wife was like, you know what? This isn't working. You're not wanted here. So he goes back to Cleveland and he gets a job as a vault teller at the Society National Bank. And he would brag to his friends, like, it would be so easy to just walk out of here with all kinds of money. And so a day after his 20th birthday in July of 1969, he did exactly that. He walked out of the bank at closing time with a paper bag full of money. And by the time they realized the money was missing on Monday, he was gone, cut off all contact with his entire family, including his siblings, changed his name, settled in Boston, met a woman named Kathy. They got married. They had baby Ashley. And it wasn't until right before he died that he confessed everything.
Wow, it's amazing he could pull that off. Does this story tell you that he blew through the money, or was the money helpful to him? Was he able to use it?
There's no indication that he blew through the money.
Yeah,
a marshal has been, a guy named Pete Elliott, who is a U.S. marshal, has been chasing her dad since 1969.
No
kidding. There's a podcast about it. It's called My Fugitive Dad.
Yeah.
Is that
right? It's really, really worth a listen. So,
yeah.
Like you, I often look at my kids and think, you don't really know who I am. Not really. And you never will. Just like, I don't really know who my parents are. Your kids don't really know you, Bob or Lamar. You don't really know your parents, because there's something about the parent-child relationship. There's always going to be like a little bit of mystery. Barriers.
Yeah.
But I want you to imagine getting this deathbed confession. We'll post this up on the Bob and Sherry Facebook. This is Bob and Sherry.
Instant access to the podcast, and fun side. Just download the free Bob and Sherry app.
I read this thing about lost skills and hobbies that Americans have given up on because, you know, we have online calculators. We can use that instead of numbers. And that's just one of the things. And we don't have to write with cursive writing because, you know, we're typing everything online. I looked at this and I was not, I didn't feel badly about myself. These were not lost skills to me because I never had them to begin with. I actually felt better about them, to be honest with you. Here are some of the lost skills and hobbies. Map reading, knowing proper grammar, mental math, remembering phone numbers. Except for my wife, I'm not so sure how many numbers I know. Using a compass, handwriting, making a fire from scratch. Could you do that today, Lamar?
No.
Could you make a fire from scratch?
No, not even with lightning. I couldn't make it.
I don't think I could. Preserving foods such as pickling. Making your own jam. making your own cheese. If someone asked me, Bob, could you bring to the barbecue some homemade cheese? I couldn't do it. Changing a tire yourself. I've changed tires, but I haven't done it in so long. I think I'd have to take a little time. Let's see. Reading music, carpentry, baking a cake by hand, pottery making, storytelling, critical thinking, and I'm just going to throw one in that I think that we have lost a knowledge of exactly how this country works and what this country really is. So there you are. I think a lot of folks nodding their head with these. Oh, yeah, using an index in a book. It's Bob and Sherry.
Now, let's open up the Bob and Sherry Archive Vault.
I was reading an article about online dating and how to make yourself seem most attractive and desirable in your online profile, which, you know, obviously Bob and I aren't doing because the spouses are so bitchy.
They frown
about
on it.
They're all like controlling and judgy about our dating. Yeah. So we've had to take our Tinder profiles down. But according to this woman named Sarah Beeney, who's an online dating expert, and I don't know how you get to declare yourself an online dating expert. Like, I think from now on, Todd, I would like to be known as an expert cat photographer. Can you do that for me?
You know, I think you just make a declaration that that's what you are.
Hi, I'm Sherry Lynch. I'm an expert cat photographer, and I'm here to tell you how to get that done. Anyway, here are 10 cliches that you should never, ever put in your dating profile online. Mm-hmm. So for everyone out there that's doing it, never do these. And as we go through these, let's discuss.
All right.
Number one, I'm a real travel junkie.
No.
Don't put that.
No, that either sounds expensive or like you don't really focus on work.
It's just a cliche.
Yeah.
It's just a cliche. Now, I do think that if you are someone who loves to travel, you're going to struggle to be happy in a relationship with someone who refuses to leave home.
Yeah.
Like if you're this fun-loving woman and you meet a guy that can only go to the bathroom at his own house, y'all are going to struggle.
You know, the thing about I love to travel, that's generally what the one that you see, I think. I love to travel. It is such a cliche. There are very few people who say, I never want to leave the county.
I can only use my own bathroom.
You know, there's just not that many folks.
I would avoid using the word junkie at all.
Yeah.
That's another good point. Yeah.
Here's the next one. This is a cliche that should not be in your online dating profile, according to this expert. I'm easygoing. Look, if you need to tell me that, what is that code for?
Well, it's also a relative thing.
Yeah.
One person's easygoing is somebody else's boring or uptight.
Lazy.
Yeah.
If by easygoing, you mean roots are coming from your rump into the recliner, that's easygoing, all right.
Or you don't go to work, you know, but 1 or 2 days a week and you get fired a lot.
Here's a cliche you shouldn't have on your dating profile. I enjoy nights in and nights out. Well, who doesn't? Sometimes I want to stay home. Sometimes I want to go out.
You're not going to tell me the next one following that is, I like music.
Oh, that.
We were talking about that the other day.
It's worse. It's worse. Ready? It's worse than I like music. I love laughing.
It is worse. It is worse.
Who doesn't love to laugh? I'm sure there's some sourpuss out there that never wants to laugh, but the chances.
Let me put it this way. I'm reading a Nazi book right now, and I just saw yesterday a photograph of Himmler, and he was laughing. Or
even
he's at a
Hitler.
Party with Hitler, and he's laughing.
Even Hitler's henchmen loved laughing. All right.
And that had to be a hard room to work, I have to be honest.
Yeah.
I don't want to know what made him laugh.
Yeah,
that's the thing.
The last days in the bunker, even Gallagher would have struggled. All right.
A Gallagher reference.
No.
Wow.
Wait.
Tied into Hitler's
final
days. A Gallagher
in Hitler's bunker reference.
That's, no one else can
hang
do
on,
this,
hang
woman.
Hang on.
You're the best.
This girl is on fire. All right. Here's another cliche that must not be in your dating profile.
Uh-huh.
Love to work hard and play harder.
Stop it. What are you, one of the Kennedy family people?
Stop that. Here's another one. I'm searching for my soulmate. Oh, the burden of expectation is exhausting in that one. Can we just go out and love laughing together?
There you go.
Here's the next one.
Yeah, but I mean, the flip of that is, I'm searching for someone I have nothing in common with that I don't particularly find attractive.
Well, then, if you're on...
Of course you're searching for your soulmate. Who isn't?
This next one, you should not put in your dating profile. Max, you'll agree with this. Are you really gonna be interested in someone who says, I'm a little bit crazy?
Oh, no. Oh, no, no, no.
Because here's the rule, right? Wait. If you think you're a little bit crazy, people who've dealt with you think you're a lot
really crazy.
Really crazy.
That's exactly what that is.
Next.
I literally saw in my mind's eye a red flag.
Exactly.
When you said that.
Tell me if this is a red flag for you. I'm looking for my knight in shining armor.
Totally. Totally.
Oh, God almighty. Now as a man, does that not make you feel tired?
Yes.
I would like to be that person. I would very much like to be that person, but it's got to be kind of a natural situation. And I don't want to have to put on the armor and get on the mighty steed every single day.
Do you want someone who is waiting to be rescued and have their life delivered to them?
I want somebody with a full life by herself.
Thank you.
Take that. I'm looking for my knight in shining armor out. And finally, if you're a guy, this dating expert, Sarah Beeny, says, don't put this in your dating profile. Don't say, I'm a nice guy. And I'm not sure why, other than...
It sounds like something that a serial killer who's hiding who he really is
would say.
I'm a nice guy.
I'm a nice guy.
I do some bad things.
I think it's a very... And if somebody calls you nice, I think it's dismissive. If a woman says, oh, you're nice, no, it's dismissive. Yeah.
You think it's code for boring or unsexy or whatever.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Ways to get in touch with the Bob and Sherry Show. Stick your head out a window and yell, hey, Bob and Sherry.
Hey, Bob and Sherry!
Get the Bob and Sherry free app for your phone and leave us a talkback message.
Hey, Bob and Sherry.
Email us through the Bob and Sherry website, bobandsherry.com, or email us hello@bobandsherry.com. Or you can call 1-844-52-SHERRY.
Hello, Bob and Sherry.
Leave us a DM on the Bob and Sherry Facebook page. Or you can just kick it old school and yell out the window.
Hey, Bob and Sherry!
Sign up for our newsletter. We never spam you.
Never did.
Get Bob and Sherry exclusives. Just go to bobandsherry.com.
I'm rough like a freight train, smooth like ice, and yo, just laid up. I think I can beat Mike Tyson.
Well, we're going to see how that goes. Come July the 20th, 2024, he is going to face off against Jake Paul. Now, Mike Tyson will be 58 years old when they face off, and Jake Paul will be 27 years old. Now, Jake Paul, he was a YouTuber, and he turned into this whole boxing, rabble-rousing guy that's bigger than life, and he's challenged some people to some fights, and he's had some fights, and he's won some fights, and he's not like a small guy. I mean, he's a big boy. But Tyson is the legendary heavyweight champion. And listen, he's a hoss. I don't care how old he is. And you can see the films of him working out. At 58, he looks unbelievable.
Now, so the challenger, does the challenger look like The Rock? I mean, is this a guy that could...
If you look at him, no. He's in good shape. There's no doubt about it. He is in good shape. The question is, will that ambition and all that stuff that he's got built up, how's it going to go against the GOAT, the greatest of all time? Here's the problem for the 27-year-old kid. All right, if he beats Mike Tyson, if he happens to beat Mike Tyson, he's a 27-year-old guy that beat a 58-year-old man.
Right.
But if he gets beat by Tyson, he's a 27-year-old that got his butt whooped by a 58-year-old man. There's really no winning for him here. You know, now the big question is, there's going to be some money involved, and they're going to do it on Netflix. It's going to be live on Netflix July the 20th. And right now they're going back and forth of whether this will be an exhibition or whether it will be a real fight. Now, Tyson is wanting a real fight. But if they do an exhibition, there'll be headgear and it won't be quite the same. I hope they turn it loose. I hope they turn it loose because Tyson's 58, he's 27. Tyson has had 58 fights. Paul has had 10. Tyson, over his whole career, he had 6 losses. Paul's only had 1. But Tyson has had 44 knockouts. Paul has had 6. Tyson's 217 pounds. Paul's 198. So they're not that far apart as far as weight and stuff goes. But Tyson, this is all he's ever done. He's a fighter. This is all he's ever done.
He's a fighter not only physically. The guy obviously is a fighter mentally. And yes, probably will be all his life. I mean, who do you pick? Let me ask Max first. Who would you pick? Who would you bet on?
Well, I am going to say that I watched the movie Rocky Balboa, and Rocky was about that age, and he held his own. So I think it's going to be a draw.
Okay. All right. What do you think, Lamar?
I'm not a Tyson fan, but I respect him. And he was a brawler on the street till somebody found him. He was beating people's brains out just in his with his fist on the street till they got him in the boxing ring. And my money's on him. The only chance that Paul, I think, has got, if he can take it to 3 or 4 rounds and tire Tyson out. Tyson, most of his fights don't last over 15, 20 seconds. I mean, he will knock you out. So I'm saying Tyson.
Or he'll bite your ear off.
Either one. Doesn't matter. We're going to take you down.
Don't care who the other person is. It's Mike Tyson, y'all. I would not get in a ring with Mike Tyson. I wouldn't get in a ring with Mike Tyson if he had one broken arm, a bad toothache, and his ankles tied together. I still think he could kill me. Like, there's
I definitely don't want to be in the ring if he's got a bad toothache. I can tell you that right now.
If you've ever watched his fights, when those people are walking up to the ring, you can look in their eyes. They're already beat. They're already beat. They know. And, buddy, that's usually what happens. We'll see. Netflix is going to make a chunk on this, I think. If anybody's not subscribing to him, surely to gosh, everybody's got a Netflix subscription. But we'll see. This is Bob and Sherry.
The Bob and Sherry Podcast.
Have you all ever seen one of those old ads? You'll see it online now. Somebody has saved an old ad, and it's like a doctor smoking a cigarette. You know what I mean? And you just look at it. You go, are you kidding? Or there's another one. They have a baby, and the baby, I mean, it's like a 1.5-year-old slugging 7-Up because it gives it pep. You know, and you just look at it, you go, how could this happen? There's one that I came upon that I just love. Guys have been clueless with women since we came out of the cave. And I know when I see a guy that has white sunglasses and he's got it on his head indoors, I just look at him and I say, every woman looking at you thinks that you are a D-bag, but some of us just don't get it. I sometimes have not gotten it, but we have made progress because I am looking for an ad right now for a necktie. It looks like it's the 1950s, and you see the necktie in the ad, and there are 4 or 5 cartoons of women applauding the necktie, and there's another little picture of a guy kissing a beautiful woman. And here's the headline next to the necktie. Girls can't resist this kiss me necktie as it glows in the dark. So during the day, this necktie it's a blue necktie. It just has some, you know, paisley-like sort of designs. But if you step into the dark, these words illuminate. Will you kiss me in the dark, baby?
When was this? Oh, my God.
I think it's the 1950s, and you can mail in a no-risk coupon with $1.49 for the tie. And by the way, you can get 3 of these ties, different colors, for only, I think it was $6. So it's, will you kiss me in the dark, baby?
You know,
what
as like
kind of a man thinks, Well, first of all, you've got her in the dark, right? So she's probably a little uncomfortable anyway. And then that lights up?
As bad as this is, and I'm not going to name this person's name, but y'all are going to know who I'm talking about. We used to work with a guy who, I don't know where he got the notion to dress the way he did, but it was kind of like ridiculous. And, you know, pinky rings, oversized shirts. Yeah. You know who I'm talking about?
Yeah.
He's the guy. He's the guy that would buy and wear that. There's a certain kind of guy.
There is.
Buy and wear that. Yeah.
There is.
Man,
I said $6 for three. That was obviously not the not the price. There is a guy that thinks they can pull that off.
The 50s must have been a wild time to be like in your prime, because what you just described to me sounds like no woman was safe from this guy who, you know, like, oh, I'm gonna take you in the dark bathroom and show you my glow in the dark tie. Like,
do you want to hear one of the other lines in the ad just below the headline? By day, a lovely swank tie. By night, a call to love in glowing words.
A call to love?
Will you kiss me in the dark? Not just that, baby. Will you kiss me in the dark, baby? I guess if I had that in you know, I say, hey, Mary, come into this dark room here. She might think that. No, she wouldn't.
But it's one thing when it's you like doing something goofy to make your wife laugh. It's another thing when it's you and you're single and you put that on and head out the door for a date.
A smart tie by day, at night, a magic tie.
Well, Lamar, I was just going to say, you know what would look really good with that tie? Your X-ray spectacles.
I ordered some of those and they do not work. I'm just going to tell you, don't order them. I ordered some. They didn't work. They don't work.
How old were you when you ordered the?
10 or 12, probably.
10 or 12 seems about right. Yeah.
I ordered a bunch of stuff. I ordered a bunch of stuff out of the comic thing.
What else did you order?
Oh, God. Of course, I ordered the seahorses. That was not a really good deal.
Itching powder to
I got the joy buzzer, and I also got that pack of gum that when you pull the stick out, it hits your finger with a, you know,
with a snap. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Those weren't as funny as you thought they were. They looked funnier in the thing there, but no.
Right. Right.
No.
Ah, those were the days, as they say. It's Bob and Sherry.
Leave us a talkback. Talkback with the free Bob and Sherry app.
I love Kate Winslet so much. Like, she's one of my all-time favorite actors. I love her. And she sat down with the TV journalist Willie Geist. And one of the things they talked about, she has this new show out on Max called The Regime, which just is a hoot. But they were talking about how dramatically her life changed with Titanic, that overnight she became a global megastar. And she was saying that it was really difficult to enjoy that because she had just come from a regular, she's not a Nepo baby, and her family was working class. She had just come from this regular life. And she said, I didn't have the infrastructure that goes hand in hand with being a famous person. She said, I lived in this really small two-bedroom flat in North London with no security. I could never have afforded security. She couldn't enter her house or leave it without being swarmed by paparazzi. And she said, I was someone who was raised in this extremely loving, normal family. And then overnight, my life was abnormal. And I couldn't get back to any kind of normal. And it was traumatic. And I'm thankful that that kind of scrutiny doesn't happen to me anymore. And I was thinking about, like, yeah, she went from being an unknown commodity to being the star of, like, the biggest movie ever.
With a nude scene.
Yeah. I mean, just overnight. And you think about what it's like to be a working actor who gets a part like that. Like, you literally go from not being able to pay your rent to being hounded night and day by photographers. And you really aren't safe. You know, they're outside your house. Anybody can find out that you live there. God,
and that movie was more than a movie. That movie was a real, as they used to say, happening. I mean, everybody saw that movie, and obviously she was one of two people that carried it.
Yeah, just wild. So it was just a reminder that, you know, we're flipping through our news feeds or People Magazine or whatever, and we really forget sometimes these are people, you know, and it's shocking.
Yep.
It's Bob and Sherry. Thank you so much for listening to the Bob and Sherry podcast, the Oddcast, and Talking Lamar. We would love it if you would subscribe, rate, and review, and maybe share it with a friend on Facebook, Instagram, wherever you go. And thank you again so much for listening.